follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
Welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Glad that you're with us here on this Wednesday morning as we talk to you about the Bears. Bears getting ready to finish the season against the Minnesota Vikings, but we want to talk to you a little bit about the Bears as far as not just now, but also the future. At the time that Matt Eberflus was hired as the head coach for the team, there was some indifference for me because we went through a number of names, some that were middle shelf, maybe one that was on the top of the shelf cap, but it ends up being Matt Eberflus. And I thought, well, this is a transitional hire for what's going to be next, because we suspected that this team would be in trouble as far as trying to win post-Nagy and post-Pace. It would be in trouble, meaning that you had to get rid of some of the talent to be able to get to where you want to be as a franchise. You had to bottom out to try to get back to the top.
You didn't have to. You could have taken, they did not have a ton of cap space. Mm-hmm. They had some. You did not have to. You could have tried to piecemeal it together and added to the team. He chose to go the other direction.
And be 5-12. More like 5 or 6 wins. If you would have kept it intact and just added a few more names, where would you be?
Well, they were 6-11 last year under Nagy. Mm-hmm. If you had added to the O line, gotten another receiver, I don't know. Do you piecemeal it and win 7, 8?
Probably not. You weren't getting that much when they were here.
You certainly were not building a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, I'm going to make the tough decision that we're going to take all the dead cap money right now. Khalil Mack, get out. Roquan, get out. Robert Quinn, get out. Danny Trevathan, thanks for coming. Allen Robinson, see you later. James Daniels, good luck in Pittsburgh. And all of a sudden, this is what you get.
Yeah.
3-14.
Mm-hmm. But I guess the point is that in a lot of ways, since you weren't winning with the talent you had, you want to be able to have as much space as you could financially. Mm-hmm. I get that. I totally understand the direction. Because as is, you weren't going anywhere. Is there a narrative out there that the Bears could have coached up Khalil Mack, coached up Akeem Hicks, coached up a number of these guys for them to be better and be a better football team? I don't think so. I think you were getting what you were getting with this football team. Nothing else was going to change just because Eberflus was here.
Why did so many people pick that they could win 8, 9, 10 ball games?
You know why, Cap? Is because all we have as fans is hope. That's why. Sometimes it's a rational hope, but all we have is hope. You know how many losses that we've seen over the years as fans, mm-hmm, in this town?
Mm-hmm.
How many teams that have underachieved? But all you have is hope. Sometimes it's irrational. But when we were taking phone calls in July and August, and people were telling me, oh, guys, this is a 10-11 win ball club. This is a top 5 special teams unit. This is, you had to be daft to believe that based on the roster composition. You weren't winning with the players that you had. What made you think that this was going to be a top-tier team in the NFC based on not a lot on this roster? So it's irrational, but you can understand why fans feel optimistic, because they said, I'm tired of Pace, I'm tired of Nagy, I want to see something different. And now you see something different, but you have to wait a while to get what you want, and that's a perennial playoff team.
That is correct, and there's no guarantee.
No, it's not.
Look how many years the Jets have been wandering in the wilderness. The Giants, how many coaches they go through? Pat Shurmur, isn't that his name?
Yes.
Pat Shurmur into, who did they fire to hire?
Joe Judge,
mm-hmm, for DeBall.
Mm-hmm.
Brian DeBall. They've been since 2016, no playoffs. Washington's been wandering in the wilderness for how long? The Raiders have been wandering in the wilderness. Like the Lions, look how long it's taken. And people think we're going to turn this thing around in 1 year because we got the number two pick at least and cap space?
Mm-hmm.
Stop. This is the worst roster in the NFL.
Yeah. It's hard to say, but it's really true. But they made it this way because they want to be able to get a top-tier draft pick. And whether it's one, two, whatever it's going to be, the Bears should be able to get what they need. And they need a lot on this roster.
Well, when you say get what they need, explain what that means.
Well, if you need someone on the offensive line, you can find someone on the offensive line. You can get the best that's available on the offensive line. Need someone on the defensive line, you should be able to get the best that's available on the defensive line. Need somebody in the secondary, you should be able to get the best what's available in the secondary. Because it's like this huge game of darts with this big bullseye. You can't miss if there's a huge bullseye. You can't miss. There's a lot of things that's needed on this football team. Besides the quarterback.
But the free agent class is not, you don't look at it and go, wow, look at all those superstars. They're not.
No, but in the draft, you could be able to find what you want.
Well, that's, you got the number two pick. You don't have another first round pick.
No, but I mean, you got to start someplace.
Right.
Would you rather have the two pick or rather be in the middle or the bottom?
Agreed, but it's going to be a long process, and I don't think fans are prepared for that. I think there are still fans out there that truly believe, hey, man, we go get Will Anderson and we sign a offensive lineman or two, get a receiver, we're good. We're ready to go.
Mm-mm. That's just the beginning.
They are light years from contention.
Yeah, that's just the beginning.
Correct.
Absolutely. So having said that, since we're talking about the players, what about the head coach and Matt Eberflus? Because if I asked you, Cap, give me the things that stand out to you most about this Eberflus era, you'd probably say, well, I mean, he's going along with the process that's been put out there. And that is, we're going to lose and we're going to rebuild this thing from scratch.
Correct.
But is there anything from Eberflus, again, as a defensive coordinator, in which you say, boy, that defense, there's some wrinkles there defensively that he's implementing on this team? He may be the CEO, but still, he is a defensive coordinator at heart. He may not be calling all the plays, but he's got to be looking at this from a defensive coordinator standpoint and looking at this and saying, this is trash. This is awful, especially that last game against Detroit, the worst game that the Bears played.
If I said to you, hey, Jonathan, we have a team. We need to hire a head coach. We can get anybody. Matt Eberflus on your shopping list?
Just not.
After what you saw this year?
Mm-mm.
And again, his roster's terrible. I get it.
He wasn't on my initial list before he got the job.
Correct. Correct.
So.
But no one would win with this roster. But has he done anything where you go, boy, that really, we could build on that. The fact that 38-10, he still had Justin Fields in the game, tells me a lot. That was the dumbest coaching decision I've watched in a long time.
And it makes you wonder whether or not that's his decision, Fields' decision, or Poles' decision. Who came up with that? All I keep hearing him is him empowering Justin Fields. When I hear Eberflus speak, the young man wants to play. He's healthy enough to play. He plays. And then we have former players that say, well, he needs this experience.
I don't disagree with that.
Of what? But what experience of what, though?
But when you're down 38-10 to the Lions, what are you learning?
Yeah.
Other than you're getting a living you-know-what beaten out of you,
mm-hmm.
sacked seven times. What are we gaining? Hey, where's Justin? He's in the blue tent getting checked for a concussion. All right, when he gets cleared, put him back out there. Why? What was he learning? Nothing. Stupid. That's just an idiotic, dumb take.
There was something that was very odd, Shay. I don't know if you noticed if you watched the game. Did you notice that Justin Fields is sitting there on the table, and slowly the blue tent went over him? Almost like a hearse or like the casket falling, coming down, like the lid of the casket coming down. Like he had to put the blue tent around him to be in the tent. He didn't walk in. They just put it over the top of it.
Right. It folds up.
It was very sad.
It was.
It's very sad to see that he's sitting on the table and slowly the blue tent just goes over the top of him.
It's closing on him like a clamshell.
It really
That's
was.
What it was like. It's a great analogy.
It really was. And just kind of watching it, it's like, this guy's got to be in the blue tent, and he's got a bad shoulder, and he's running all over the place. He's limping when he's – I'm like, come on, man. Really? And then on top of that, Cap, when it comes to Eberflus and Justin Fields, look at that from this standpoint. From Justin Fields, holds the ball like a loaf of bread. No one fumbles the ball more than him in the league. I know this is part of his offensive line, but also him not being able to value the football well enough. He's still learning too. That's what it looks like.
Correct.
All of this is a situation where the Bears have to be able to grow together as an organization. This new look Bears, this new reimagined Bears, have to be able to grow together. General manager, head coach, quarterback, offensive coordinator, and all the way across the board. But you feel like there's a free agent coach that could step right in there and really change the fortunes of the Bears, right? At some point.
We got our quarterback. I truly believe he's the guy.
Sure.
And I've been consistent with that. The rest of it, I just don't know. I mean, Ryan Poles wowed you with any move he's made. I hope the two defensive backs are good. Mm-hmm. He stayed loyal to his board, and he got the two best guys, in his opinion, on the board at the times they were picked. What else has he done where you go, now that's a sharp executive? Gave up number 33 or 34 for Chase Claypool, who Mike Tomlin, who we just said is the most underrated coach in pro sports, said, yeah, you can go. We're done with you. Get out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But you have a coach in mind that you feel that could be able to change the fortunes of the franchise.
My whole premise, I'm not telling you that they should go fire the coach. Right? What I said to you at the start of the show, Do not make a call. You have a franchise quarterback. You've got a bunch of, what was the words you used? Neophytes?
Yeah.
An OC who's never been an OC. Mm-hmm. A head coach who's never been a head coach. A GM who's never been a GM. And we're going to let them determine the future of the franchise going into a new stadium when Sean Payton is out there? Really? You're not going to even make a phone call. Sean, if you're coming back to the league, before you do anything, I've got a big checkbook here. Talk to me. Mm-hmm. At least meet with me. Have dinner with me.
Sure.
And if he says, you know what, it's just not a fit. That's not going to work. But if he says, yeah, here's what I need. We can do that. Yes. And I need that. We can do that. I need to pay my stuff. I can do that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk.
So that the question we have on the table for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Cap and I want to find out from you, if you are the Bears, do you at least call Sean Payton to see if he's interested? Or do you like the status quo right now, being able to grow with Matt Eberflus and this coaching staff? So just getting your thoughts. Sean's available. He's doing television and radio at Fox. But he will coach again. He's interested. What about the Bears? What do you think? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Cap'n Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
All right. Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. And to remind you, coming up at 10 o'clock, it'll be Chris Bleck and Tyler Aki. They'll be in for Mike Greenberg today. Bleck and Aki from 10 to 12. Carmen Yurko, 12 to 2. Waddle and Meller from 2 to 6. All part of the mix right here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. If you're just joining us, Cap and I are talking about Sean Payton and his free agency, because he is doing Fox right now, and he's going to coach again. No question about it, right?
Whether it's this year or next, I think. Snorling, when do they own his contractual rights where they have to get compensation for him?
At least next year, I'm certain, and they want a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm. Want and get are two different things.
I don't remember who was reporting it. I'll look it up in a minute. But what I last read was, it might have been Breer, first round pick was what opened the door for the Saints at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the interesting thing is when John Gruden was traded by the Raiders to the Buccaneers, I believe it was two ones, two twos, and $8 million. I think I'm right on that.
Mm-hmm.
Shay can look that up and see.
Tampa Bay gave up 2002 and 2003 first round picks, 2002 and 2004 second round picks, and $8 million in cash.
There you go. That's a lot. And then they won the Super Bowl. So for them, it was worth it. But, man, can you imagine the Bears giving up two ones and two twos? No shot. With this roster, no chance.
I guess the point for Sean Payton is that that would be shopping at the top shelf, getting yourself a coach that has experience, and I have no problem with that. And you say, well, what about Matt Eberflus? Well, Matt Eberflus in this scenario would be Rick Renteria. That's exactly what he would be. Just an A to B coach to be able to get to the next thing.
Or maybe he's even Dale Swaim.
Oh.
No talent. Right?
That's a tough one.
Like,
there.
When Renteria came here, they had already acquired Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
They had Castro. They had drafted Bryant and Schwarber and Addison Russell and Kyle Hendricks and Jay Garrett. They were all here.
So he's Swaim or Mike Quade?
He's Swaim. Quade would have been Nagy.
Oh, jeez.
Swaim. Dale Swaim would be Matt Eberflus.
That's over 100 losses for Dale Swaim, was it not?
Yeah,
pretty
they
close.
Went. Yeah, they went 61-101, mm-hmm. I think, and then in 2013, they went, I think, 99 losses.
So you may know what Justin Fields is or what he could be. What about Matt Eberflus as a head coach for the Bears? 312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Cap being too hard on Eberflus. He's ready to turn the page already on this transitional hire.
I'm not demanding, like I was with Nagy, saying they have to fire him.
Yes.
I'm not saying that here. Let me be clear.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying to you was if I was the owner, if you and I were the owners, if my brother and I, who dream of owning a team, we'll never have that money, owned a team, I would have the discussion. Hang on a second here. Are we all in on Justin? That's what I'd ask my GM. Yep, he's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is this the best crew to train him to get him to the next level? Oh, I think so. They've never done it.
Right.
I've got the checkbook here. Sean Payton's available. Let's find out what it would take to get him here.
So let's get your thoughts on that. Would you want
That's what I'm saying.
Do you want status quo or Sean Payton? 312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Casey in Naperville on ESPN 1000. Hey, Case.
Hey, guys, love the show.
Thanks, Casey.
You make driving around the Chicagoland area for work much more pleasurable.
Thank you.
Have you ever heard the saying, if it's not broken, don't fix it?
Yes.
Well, that's not the case for the Chicago Bears. It is very, very broken. And I, as a diehard fan, I'm tired of waiting to see. Let's just see what happens. Sean Payton has proven to be a much better head coach than what Matt Eberflus has had time to prove. So why not have that conversation? Anyone that says that's a bad idea, in my opinion, is a moron. So you guys go ahead and take it away, but love the show. Keep it up and talk to you soon.
All right. Have a great day.
We appreciate it. And again, the carrot on the stick is Sean Payton is the quarterback whisperer. And you say, well, what about all those years with Drew Brees? Well, Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer under the auspices, under the coaching of Sean Payton. So I think that he's proven as a head coach in this league, and it would be amazing to see the Bears at least pick up the phone and call. I think that the Bears, Cap, have to look at this and say, okay, we're all very inexperienced in this situation. We have someone that is gold. We feel like Justin Fields can be the guy. But as I'm going to be telling you a lot, the question is, who's going to coach him? Who's going to get him to the next level? This old defensive coordinator? Is it going to be Luke Getsy? I'll throw this out there as well by Luke Getsy. If the Bears continue to progress offensively, where Justin Fields all of a sudden is like in a Pro Bowl or the team's getting better, Luke Getsy's not going to be around here very often. He's not going to be around here very long. Because if the Bears get good with Justin Fields, Getsy's gone.
He'll get a head coaching job.
Quickly.
But are you – here's my question.
And that's
you willing to trust the development of your franchise quarterback – to a guy, as you call them, a neophyte,
yep.
Eberflus,
yep.
Neophyte, Getsy, neophyte, Poles. Are you willing to not go out and get an incredibly compelling name that you might be able to go get? Might.
Yeah, I think eventually that
you
is
have
going
to discuss it.
Well, I think eventually that's going to happen. But it may not be Sean Payton, but I think in a couple of years it's going to be someone. Will that someone be as good or better than Sean Payton? I'm not so sure. That's the whole thing. Like, say the way I look at it, Shay, is like in, say, for instance, in 3 years, you're still not where you want to be. Well, Eberflus is not going to be here. But who's going to be the coach that will say, okay, this team's underachieving. Let me get the best of the best. Who's that going to be? Some hot college coach? Some hot college coordinator? Who's that going to be? Now you have an opportunity to at least pick up the phone and call Peyton and see would he be interested in coaching his old team.
Well, I think the interesting part is if you don't think Eberflus is going to be here in 3 years, then you do maybe start thinking about moving on earlier than later, because the teams that win Super Bowls employ their coaches for a decade. If you look around the league, teams that have won Super Bowls, by and large, like Andy Reid's been in Kansas City a long time. McVay has been in Los Angeles longer than you would believe. Really, with the aside of the Eagles in 18, pretty much every Super Bowl team has a long-term head coach. You want that guy.
And I want a head coach that can develop both sides of the football as well by saying, okay, here's Sean Payton as a quarterback whisperer, but also can bring a defensive coordinator that can help me defensively. This defense is horrible. I've seen it tweeted the last couple of days. This is the worst defense of my lifetime for some of the younger people out there, that they haven't seen a defense this bad for the Bears in a long time. When you have the Lions, who ran for 265 yards, becoming the fifth team this season to run for more than 200 yards against the Bears, a franchise first going back to 1955, you got a problem. That guy's a defensive coordinator, but yet that dog don't hunt. There was some business decisions that were made out there by that secondary against the Lions, by this Bears team. What the hell?
But did you expect with this roster for him to have a better defense?
I expected it to be this bad, Cap. Not this bad.
I don't blame him that the defense looks terrible. I don't. He's got nobody to rush the passer. He's got nobody to push the pocket up the middle. No. This is not on him. My question to you is, what makes him so compelling that you go, hold on a second now? Like, if you're my GM,
yeah.
Jonathan, come in. Who's the best available coach right now, today?
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be Sean Payton, I would think would be your answer. Right?
Yeah.
You'd say Payton.
Sure.
Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me what is so compelling about the man that we currently have. Nice man.
Mm-hmm.
What is so compelling about him that you feel like we have to stay loyal to him?
Right.
Well, I don't know if we want to spend $20 million. Let me worry about that. I own the team.
Mm-hmm.
I have the checkbook. We've got a multi-billion-dollar franchise. We're building a new stadium. Let me worry about the cost. If I told you I could pay the contract, would you rather have Sean Payton or Matt Eberflus?
I'd rather have Sean Payton.
Okay, then go out and make a phone call.
Yeah, I certainly would.
Now, if you're telling me the only way I can get him is if I give up the number two overall pick, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
My team's so bad, I need those players. But if they're willing to work with me, we can get the pick down the road, or it's two twos and a three, whatever. Make the call, at least, is my point.
All right, let's go back to your phone calls in a moment. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We want to get your thoughts about what you do. If you're the Bears, do you pick up the phone and call and take a look at what the Bears could do with getting Sean Payton as a head coach? Or do you like status quo to build with this general manager, this head coach, and not change it so quickly? Just wondering your thoughts on what you do there, because Payton's available. Could you imagine him as a Bears head coach? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Also still to come, some thoughts about the new president of the Bears. Oh, there's a name out there that's pretty powerful. We'll talk about it coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at TheCapMan and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Luck and Aki come your way at 10 o'clock. They'll be in for Greeny today, so don't shut it down, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Just keep it on. You'll be fine. Black and Tyler will keep you entertained at 10 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000.
What about Zach Wilson?
I'm sure that'll come up as well. That's the theme of the show, a little Zach Wilson, a little Jet talk. By the way, Cap, Bulls in Brooklyn tonight at the United Center on the West Side. I have it at Brooklyn as a 5-point favorite.
That is correct.
Do you have it at 5?
I do.
I like the Bulls tonight.
Wow.
I like them to win outright.
It's like somebody's recap might be a lot of fun tonight. Going to be competitive.
It's just the way the Bulls roll.
They got screwed the other night. First of all, the 2-minute report came out for Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And DeMar got fouled on the game-winning attempt when they lost by one.
Sure.
Should have gone to the line, make both free throws, you win.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, Donovan Mitchell jumps over the free throw line and throws it back in.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait. If you're not on the lane lines, you have to wait until the ball hits the rim. He was clearly in the lane. I spoke to 2 NBA referees and asked the question, can you look at the tape and please tell me? And both said to me, yeah, missed call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's so like the Bulls to find a way to beat the Nets tonight. It would not surprise me at all. Outright.
Right.
You do what
and
you want.
Brooklyn's won 12 in a row, right?
Yeah. Stops tonight.
Sounds like a money line.
It stops tonight. It's enough of this losing. Look, if you're long and athletic and undisciplined, you can beat the Bulls. Orlando, Houston, Oklahoma City.
Right.
You're just doing whatever you... I mean, you're not even paying attention to the coach. You're just doing what you want up and down the floor. But I think that the Bulls can be able to find a way against the Nets tonight.
I hope you're right.
We are talking to you about the Bears. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. By the way, whoever that is upstairs, hope they can turn the car off. You smell? You don't have a good sense of smell.
I don't.
There's like... Shay, do you smell that? Like, there's a exhaust coming in there.
We're on it. We've talked to the front desk about it. We thought it might be a truck in the alley. There is no truck in the alley, so yeah. Now I'm getting nervous. If anybody gets lightheaded, let us know immediately.
Down goes Cap!
That's it.
I mean, seriously. I mean, he won't be able to smell it, but definitely, whoever that is out there, please shut the truck off. My God.
There is no truck out there. No truck.
I mean, it's just, whatever it is, it's going right in. It smells like... Your nostrils are right into the exhaust of some car or truck.
Yeah, I can't smell anything.
Yeah. You'll just be passed out. I don't know what happened. What happened? There was fumes in the room. Oh. Anyway.
I didn't know.
So anyway.
I'm just telling you.
312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Melissa is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. All right, Liz.
Hi. I love your show, guys.
We love you. Appreciate you.
I just want to say that I would stick with Matt Eberflus because last competent coach that the Bears had was Lovie Smith, and I think this guy has the potential to be on that same level.
What has he done, unless your last name is Eberflus, can you tell me what he's done that you look and go, boy, that was really, really compelling?
I mean, just the progress that Justin Fields has made. I mean, I was pretty skeptical, you know, especially coming from the Trubisky days. I think Matt Nagy completely ruined that kid's career. I guess I heard the guy Casey make the statement that, you know, I guess I'm a moron, like he said, but I would stick with Matt Eberflus, see where he takes us.
Well, I mean, so that's a vote for stability.
Thank you, Melissa. We appreciate you.
This is a vote for stability and Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, just focus. We just got to get them wired in. The coaches have to have high energy. They have to be great teachers. They got to keep them engaged, keep them involved, do a great job as an individual to make sure you're working your techniques and fundamentals based on the game plan, based on the plays you're going to see, and just have it fast-paced and have it wired in.
Eric is in Elmwood Park.
Compelling.
On ESPN 1000. All right, Eric.
Gentlemen, so I work for your local public transportation company, and every day I sit around and I listen to you guys. And today is the first day that, I'm sorry, but this is the absolute dumbest take I've ever heard in my life about trading draft picks for a head coach when your team is so far behind the eight ball that you have to fill 85% of your roster. And yeah, okay, we have a lot of cap space. But you don't build through the free agency. You build through the draft. And even trading second and third round draft picks, like Cap is saying, for Sean Payton, that's where you get the heart of your roster.
First of all, Eric, I said I would call and find out what the price would be. You cannot tell me that you are all in. Eberflus is the guy.
It doesn't matter if you're all in on Eberflus or not. Trading any draft pick that has a 2, 3, 1, or a 4 attached to it is too much for a head coach.
Okay, just understand, if you're all in on Justin Fields, I'm talking about the organization, not you. The organization is all in. You better know who the guy is developing him and putting the system in. You better know.
I agree with
that. And not one guy we have has ever done it before.
I agree with that, that you have to make sure that you have the right coaching for your guy. But to trade draft picks for a head coach, one person that, yes, he's going to have a good amount of input on Justin Fields, but it's also your OC, your quarterback's coach. Everything else has to come, and the stars have to align on that for the developmental stage of Justin Fields to hit. Just say that Sean Payton is going to come in and just turn Justin Fields on like a light.
Well, you know, he's reportedly got a star-studded staff that's already committed to him that they will go wherever he goes.
Yeah. Well, Eric,
I'm just saying you make the phone call. I didn't say you give up 19 number one pick.
No.
Make the call.
But it's not like it's never happened before.
Correct.
That's what I like. And again, all I'm telling you is, and what I'm saying is that I was not enamored with the hire to start with.
You call them a bridge coach.
Because I kind of think that's what he is. I think that when the Bears are good, I think that they'll move on to someone else. And I don't know who that someone else is.
Again, you have to ask yourself the question, is what I have now so compelling? And he has such great knowledge, I can't talk to Sean Payton. Or do you at least make the call?
Right.
Quietly. George. Hey, Sean. George McCaskey. Can we have dinner, please? Quietly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He'll talk.
Let me just pick your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of said dinner, you might go, there's just no match there. Or, Sean, I got to tell you, man, this has been a revelation. Very enlightening. I'm hiring a new team president. We're going to do business a little differently around here. What would it take?
Bob in Buffalo Grove on ESPN 1000. Hello, Bob.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Good morning, Bob.
Happy New Year. First
you
of all,
too.
I'm not going to go there because there's no way. I got something else to discuss, but there's no way I'm giving Sean Payton a draft. No, you guys are putting him on too high of a pedestal. He's won nothing but one Super Bowl, and he's had great teams. But no, that's for another day.
He's won nothing except that Super Bowl. Go ahead.
And he's had great teams.
Right. 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 I'm sorry. He had a quarterback. He had a great quarterback. You win more than that.
Hold on. That great quarterback was a guy that San Diego gave up on. Miami flunked on his physical, and New Orleans took him off the scrap heap and turned him into. Didn't he have the most passing yards in the history of the sport when he retired?
Yes.
Come on now. Let's not minimize what he did there.
Okay. No, the quarterback was great. And look, I don't want a dream team of coaches coming here, to be honest with you. I don't want every week we talk about the coaches. But Eberflus, one thing he's done that no other Bear coach has done, and I'm 59 and I've watched the Bears for a long time, he makes adjustments at halftime. The first six games of this year, when they had a healthy team, they came out at halftime, they made adjustments and put up points. I'm sorry. I've watched the Bears the last 10 years, last 20 years. They've never made adjustments at halftime. They never had a coach that they had a game plan from the first quarter, and they used that same game plan for four quarters. This year, they came out and made adjustments. I'm sorry. Eberflus, you give Sean Payton this team and lose every game like they're doing, and you're going to bash Sean Payton then. Eberflus is getting a bad deal because we're laying down, and they're 3-13.
He's
a better coach than that.
The hope is, Bob, is that if he's going to stay here, that the team will turn around. Because everyone's learning at the same plane. You know, the head coach, the offense coordinator, the quarterback, everyone's learning at the same plane. So the hope is that he can be the guy that can turn it around. That's the hope. Bob, we appreciate the telephone call, but let's not minimize Payton and the things that he's done in New Orleans.
Yes, correct. I know we have to take our break, but when we come back, I was just sent the 2-minute report from the NBA is out. I have it.
All right. And also the
Monday's game.
Cap and J-Hood cut of the day. All part of the mix right here on Cap and J-Hood.
Zach is in Wheaton on ESPN 1000 with Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Definitely love your show. One thing I, you know, just wanted to point out, you know, kind of going along with the whole Sean Payton discussion, it seems like our Chicago teams, this is where I get so frustrated as a Chicago fan, is they never make the big splash to bring in the best available, you know, front office guy or coach, except for the Cubs, you know, with Theo and then with Joe Maddon. But besides that, like, you know, they're never willing to make that big splash. I would love to see Sean Payton, but I just, you know, I wish they would do it, but I just can't see it.
Life is about timing, isn't it, Zach?
Yep.
Now, listen, we already made the parallel of when Rick Renteria was with the Cubs. It was time for the Cubs to say, all right, it's time to bring in someone from the top shelf. And they got Joe Maddon as a manager. That was the right thing to do. Rick was not going to lead the Cubs to the World Series. Sorry, I'm a Sox fan. I know that. And so it's, sometimes you look at it and say, all right, if we're close, who could tip it in for us? And so that's why Joe Maddon was able to win a World Series championship. Now, with the Bears, it's a little bit different because the Bears, if Peyton was still, if he's coaching this year, if they're coaching next year, it still would take a couple of years for the Bears to get to where they need to be because you got to implement your system. And the same can be said about Eberflus. There might be something in year two or year three that we don't know about, Cap, that they're going to do besides personnel. What? Because he's got to learn as a head coach as well, Eberflus. I just don't see it. I said at the beginning that this seems like a bridge to something else at some point under the Poles administration. You have something on the Bulls, by the way.
Yeah, one second. I'm thinking how you phrased it almost a year ago to the day when they hired him. And you said, won't see Arlington Heights. You said it in a glib, funny manner. Mm-hmm. But then as you opined on it, you just felt he's not going to win enough games. And there'll be change, and then they'll be going into the new stadium eventually, and they'll want something fresh and new, I think is how you put it.
Yeah, and I said, you don't want to go into,
right?
Yeah, you don't want to go to a new stadium with controversy.
Correct.
You get in this new stadium, this pomp and circumstance and fireworks. Oh, we're in this brand new stadium. And by the way, the coach will be fired soon.
Right.
You don't want to do that.
No. No. You don't. It's just... there, he hasn't done any, and again, his roster stinks. I get all of it. All I'm saying to you is I'm not telling you to fire Matt Eberflus and go hire another coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hot name who's going to be in the Hall of Fame who happens to want to go back to coaching.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Sean Payton. I think you at least make the phone call. What would it take? We need two number one picks, and we have to give it. No, then, okay, I can't afford that.
But you could call, though. There's nothing wrong with that.
Make the call.
You're doing your due diligence.
Like David Tepper having a conversation with Jim Harbaugh. Is there any common ground here? Should we meet after you're done with your run and we're done with our season? No, there's really no common ground. Or yes, there's something here. Let's talk.
So you were saying about the Bulls.
Yeah, I guess this came out yesterday afternoon, and I did not see it. I don't work afternoons anymore. I got...
not yet. Go ahead.
I got the two-minute report from the NBA, and I don't know if Waddle and Sylvie show with Meller and Waddle yesterday talked about it, but the two-minute report does indeed say review decision. It says that the two decision is the INC, incorrect, no call, disadvantaged Chicago Bulls, committing player Donovan Mitchell, who of Cleveland stepped over the plane of the free throw line before the ball touched the basket ring and should have been disallowed, should not have been the game-tying basket.
Well, there you have it.
So that's two games in a row because Saturday night the two-minute report said DeMar got fouled on the game-winning attempt. They didn't give it to him. Bulls lose in overtime. Or, excuse me, lose at the gun.
There's nothing like a my bad report.
Right.
That does nothing for the team.
Snorling doesn't want him. He doesn't want to know as a
fan. I don't care. The story of the game is not that they got the call wrong. You blew a 21-point lead. If you blow a 21-point lead, then you're in position for the refs to get a call wrong and screw you. You screwed yourself. You put yourself in the position to have the refs make a mistake that impacted the result of the game. It never should have been there. It's the Bulls' fault. I don't care that the call was wrong. They did it to themselves. I don't want to hear about it the next day. Move on. Figure out a way to not blow a 21-point lead next time. That's the story.
Yeah, pretty much that, you know, you're not in that position if you don't blow the 21-point lead. And that call is not the difference between a win and a loss. The difference between a win and a loss is you not being able to, bam, knocked down Donovan Mitchell. Bam!
I talked to one of my former players from Northern yesterday, who was our best defender. He was a point guard, Carl Armato.
Yeah.
He said, how does somebody not knock that guy on his ass?
Mm-hmm.
Not telling you to take his knee out. Get physical. I'm watching Zach backpedal all the way back, and this guy just steps right into another three.
It's amazing.
No. Not going to happen.
Just not desirous to guard anybody. This team, it is amazing.
Like, if you're on a team that gives up a 40-point night, you're like, wow, we got torched.
Sure.
A 50-point night, oh, my God. 71?
Yeah.
That is embarrassing and a lack of pride.
And well, you know what Billy's going to do? Joe, listen. I mean, we just have to be able to be. But I don't want him chewing any more gum. I don't want any more bull-splaining. Figure it out. Because the trade's not going to get this better as we go to the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day. All right, JC.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
You certainly didn't look and go, well, I wonder what I could learn from Mr. Norling. It was a freaking day off.
If you're going to smoke that bowl, make sure you save me some.
Pass it over here, pal.
I'm sure that would be part of the Norling text. It would be part of his curriculum.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
And that's the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. I was there Friday. It's amazing.
Still in the mix.
Yes, sir.
That's good to know. Thank you. How about we do this tomorrow at 7?
Rock and roll. Let's do it.
I want to talk a little bit about who could be the president. We ran out of time here on this show. But tomorrow we can talk about who could be the president of the Chicago Bears. Because, again, it's about infrastructure. It's about shopping at the top shelf. Ted Phillips is out. So what is next for the Bears?
Right. Is it a Kevin Warren, a Jim Phillips, a Colin Faulkner? Those are the names that I've most closely heard. Kevin Warren has done great work building a stadium. The other two have not. Jim built the building at Northwestern. Colin was part of the renovations at Wrigley, but Kevin built the Minnesota Vikings Stadium.
So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.